Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell. Today is Thursday, May 6th. And for those of you who may have heard a message saying that there was no show scheduled for tonight, there is, so hopefully everyone will still tune in. First, I wanted to start off by just asking my sister. I think she may have a couple of announcements to share with us tonight. So, Denise, if you have that, you can go ahead now.
Okay. Start by announcing Deshawn Hatcher's opening of her studio, Studio D, in New York City. It's going to be tomorrow night, so if you would like to be invited to her opening or just want to receive more information about that, you can go to Deshawn's website, which is deshawnhatcher.com, and Deshawn is spelled D-E-S-H-A-W-N, hatcher.com. OCC Cosmetics, I think we made this announcement like last week or the week before. Their Airbrush Makeup 101 seminar is going to be at 121 West 27th Street in New York. It's going to be Wednesday, May 19th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, May 22nd, also from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And one of the last things I wanted to announce tonight, one of my favorite shows, the 2010 Face and Body Art International Convention, is going to be held in Orlando, Florida on May 26th through May 30th. And you can go there to learn face and body painting for the beginner all the way up to the advanced student level. So if you're interested in face and body painting, you can check them out at www.fabaic.com.
All right.
And
thank
also,
you.
One last thing. Sorry about that. Just also wanted to announce tonight's giveaway. We're asking everyone, what is beauty to you, in the chat room? So if you have a response, go ahead and type in your response, and I'll be picking a winner by the end of tonight's show.
Okay. Well, we want to welcome Deshawn to the show. So thank you for joining us, Deshawn.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
I'm trying
Thank
to
you for
awake.
Joining us. Well, we're trying not to hold you too long. But before we get into our conversation with you, Deshawn, I wanted to welcome also Suzanne Patterson to the show. Hi, Suzanne.
Hey, how are you girls doing?
We're doing wonderful.
We wanted to
have you on to do
your
HD segment.
Twice a month HD segment that we started, and going to continue twice a month with that in an effort to get everyone, a little more knowledgeable. Like I said last time, this is kind of a twofold technique where we talk about a little bit about the technology of HD and, of course, some of the techniques that are effective. And there's just so much exploding on the technology side that it's just hard to get your arms around it and to keep up at the rate that these cameras keep morphing in their abilities to become more film-like. And we're almost there. It's just the, when I look at the cameras that are coming out this fall, it just really blows my mind in what they can do. So let me just, you know, to keep this short and easy, like I said, the new HD cameras that are coming out this fall are just even more film-like, especially the Panasonic camera. They're the front leaders in this. They have the slight leading edge in film-like features over Sony because they've really made a concerted effort in teaming with the film camera community to produce their latest line that's coming out this fall. So as a result, it's like computers. They get old after 6 months because there's something else coming behind it. And there's just always been, since digital came on the scene, there's just been this really big push for the leopard to change the spot, so to speak. And people said that it would never, never happen. But you know what? With Panavision's new Genesis camera, it just might happen. That's their answer to the HD camera, and we'll talk about that in another segment. But anyway, there's just even more tweaking features available for preset and even during recording, including variances in electronic capture. So that means that the camera is able to isolate skin tonalities from one person to the next in the same scene without even giving away what they're doing. I mean, it's so seamless, and that includes fine-tuning the chroma saturations as well. So it's more than ever that makeup artists are now going to have to be really aware of the type of cameras that they're working under and what their native features are. And that means the type of atmosphere that they inherently create with the image. Sony has a particular atmosphere in its camera sensors. Panasonic, it tends to be on the warm side. JVCs are kind of, you know, split in the middle. So makeup artists are really going to have to be aware of the camera format, of the camera type in which they're making up for. It's really important. So that's our technology side. So a makeup tip that I have, what I like to do, especially when I'm working in a Sony situation, knowing that the electronic sensor pulls really hard on the red side, I make sure that I have a little bit of a yellow pigment, a pure yellow pigment, like, for instance, Benefence Lemonade, or one of my favorites from Graftobian. I will take this with a flat filbert, a number 8, and I actually mix a little bit of primer in with it. Mm-hmm. And I apply this tinted primer all around and underneath the eye and allow it to dry. It gives a warmer saturation to the skin in that area, which I find nearly everybody needs in HD. I mean nearly everybody. So that when I apply the foundation, it looks very cleanly opaque in that area. You don't want a strong yellow. You just want just a translucent look to it. Okay. And I'll do this before I apply the foundation in that area, and it gives a cleaner look around to the eye. So that's my tip, my technology and technique tip for this segment, and see you back in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. You know, I was taking notes.
Any questions, you know?
you know, it's really good that you were talking about the cameras, because I was just talking to my sister yesterday that
mm-hmm.
I wanted you to do a segment on the different cameras, so this is perfect.
You know what? It really, I can't tell you how important it is that we become electronic makeup artists. We have to think and do our technique the way camera captures light. And it's really important. It's not anything to be afraid of. It's more empowering, really. When you understand the technology that you're working in, you find it a lot easier to adapt your techniques. And for those who, you know, who are really into, you know, studying this very carefully, you'll find that you'll naturally gravitate to the right solutions.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Cool. Well, Deshaun,
giving us a lot to think about.
Oh, I want to say congratulations to Deshaun. I just think that's wonderful at the studio. Sure wish I lived closer. I take a bath there.
Thank you, Sue. That means a lot coming from you.
I just think it's fabulous. And likewise, if you're ever down in the D.C. area, you can come down and see our new facility, too. So in any case, thank you, ladies. Really appreciate it.
Susan, just to let you know me and the girls want to jam there soon, so just give
them
a heads up.
Come back anytime. You come back and jam anytime you want. You know you're always welcome. It's an open door. It's like a revolving door, and I love it, so it's great.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Best to you, Deshaun. Best wishes.
Thank you, Susan.
Uh-huh. Take care, ladies.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Miss Deshaun.
Yes, lady.
Tell us a little bit about you and how you started your career in makeup, how long you've been doing makeup, and all that good stuff.
Okay, my stories are so long, so I'm going to try to shorthand them right now for you.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, I was in a corporate America baby. I was working behind the desk. My boss was irritating me. I didn't want to be there, but I couldn't figure out where I wanted to be. And spoke to my friend on the phone, just complaining the whole way, and he stopped me, Cole. He said, you are just such a passionless person. You don't know what you want to do. And I was like, you are right. I know I don't want to be here. And basically he asked me the question. He was like, well, what would you do for free? And I said, for free? I don't do anything for free. Are you crazy? And then I went home, and I thought about it, and I was like, wow, I really do makeup for free. I've always done makeup for free. And with that, I went and took a course at night, still working during the day at the bank. I was working at ING as a portfolio administrator. And within a month and a half, I got an A on my final exam and got cocky and was like, I don't need this. I'm quit. And I just...
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Cocky's not good, girl. And and I just decided, you know what? This is what I really want to do. And I just jumped into it. I had no clue what I was doing, but I jumped into it. And, you know, thank the Lord I survived, and I'm sitting here talking to you.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, 'cause I'm listening to that story. I mean, both my sister and I came from the corporate world also, but, you know, I was a little different. And it took me a while to leave. And same thing, boss irritating, job getting on my nerves. But I'd already started doing makeup while I was working.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, of course I wanted to leave, but I just wanted to make sure the time was right. But, whew, you sound a little more scary.
You know, well, you know, my friends will tell you I don't normally do anything that's right in the first place, so they'll tell
you. Oh, gotcha. I just
do what I feel, which is, you know, typical Libra. We, you know, our scales tilting to the left, tilt right. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just decided it was time to go. It really was time to go, really, honestly, truly, because the man was making me sick. So I had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, I mean, it's like, it's what I always call like newbies, us newbies out there when we first start, we assume that we hear these great salaries of these great makeup artists. Oh, they make $10,000 a day. And,
right.
You know, and in my mind, I was like, well, you know, at the time, God rest his soul, Kevin Kwan was like my idol. And, you know, I heard he made $10,000 a day. Well, in my mind, I was like, well, I'll just take $2,500. It's no big deal. If he can make $10, I'll make $2,500. I got an A on my exam.
Right.
I was wrong. But nobody told me.
Mm.
Well, also, I think nobody tells the makeup artists who are just starting out there, and I know that this is going to lead into probably a different topic that's for maybe our business show,
mm-hmm.
but nobody tells those young people out there that when these artists are making $10,000 a day or the $2,500 a day, they don't get it the day of the job.
No, they don't.
Sometimes they don't get it that month.
And you know what? Sometimes they don't get it at all.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they don't get it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's telling them that. They're mm-hmm. thinking, you know, these artists are so fabulous. They make all this money. They work with these certain people. And it's just great. And life is easy. But
mm-hmm.
it really isn't.
It isn't.
It really isn't.
It really isn't. And, you know, it's a shame because a lot of times that everybody's, I always say, everybody's journey is different. And my journey is certainly different from yours, you know. But you always hope that people along the way will at least tell you the real
mm-hmm.
dirt. And sometimes they just
right.
gloss over it and they don't want to tell you. Maybe they don't want to discourage you, you know,
right.
into knowing the truth. But I feel like once you're empowered with the truth, nothing really can discourage you. Now
that's right.
I know that I might not get paid here, so I better work on X, Y, and Z so I can get paid. And so
yep.
don't, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, everybody will tell you I'm very truthful. I'm like, I'll smack you between the eyes with the truth sometimes. And, you know, I feel like I need to tell everybody the truth. And, you know, the truth is you might not get paid. And here are the steps that you should take in order for you to get paid, God willing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, that's this business. I love this business. I feel, I never say never, but I feel like I'll never leave this business. But at the same time, it has a lot of loopholes. It has a lot of issues. And when you're a freelancer, there's no union to back you. It's just you. And so you have to watch out for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So speaking of the newbies, what kind of advice would you give them? Ones that are who are in situations similar to yours, ones who maybe just coming out of high school and doing mm-hmm. makeup, or what kind of advice would you give a new makeup artist who think just because they got an A that
mm-hmm.
they can get $2,500 a day or $10,000 a day? What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I would honestly, what I've been saying here lately is please save your money. Don't just do what I did, which was jump into this blindly. Now, this is not the time to do something like that. I did mine 7 years ago, and I was fortunate enough to kind of sink but then pop back up. Nowadays,
uh-huh.
I don't feel like we can do that. I don't think it's as easy to jump back up. So I always tell everybody, my last assistant, Stephanie, she wants to come to New York. I'm like, girl, you better save your money. Don't just come here and think, you know, it's your time. You have to save your money. That's the first thing I say. Work, save your money. And I also say for a lot of newbies, go to work at the makeup counter. And I wasn't a makeup counter girl for years. You know, I wasn't into, like, telling people to go to a makeup counter. But this is a recession, and when you work at the makeup counter, you get a lot of free makeup. And I don't mean stealing the makeup. I mean free makeup that they may give you. Because, you know, I said it
mm-hmm.
once in a class, and the girl said, you want me to steal? I said, no, honey. I don't want you to steal. I'm simply saying that when you work at, let's say, Bobbi Brown, Lancome, whatever, there are a lot of freebies thrown your way. So that helps you build your
yes.
kit.
Yes.
And also the diversity that should come to your counter, you know, so you get to practice on so many different people that you may not actually be able, you know, be privy to in your own world. But when you're at that counter, you could white people, black people, Asian people, you never know who's going to come sit in your chair. So that's a lesson right there. So those two things is what I would say. I'm not saying everybody run to the makeup counter, but I would definitely say those two things. Save your money, and if you need practice and so on and so forth and get paid for the practice, honey, go to a makeup counter.
That's right. I agree totally.
I'm extremely cheap. I think everybody who's taken my classes will tell you Deshaun is cheap. So I believe in freebies. I believe in the drugstore. I believe in anything that works well on my clients that right now doesn't cost me a fortune. That's
right.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
all of the above, honey.
Absolutely. And we have a caller from the 407 area code, so I'm going to try to get them on. Hello, caller.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, and yourself?
Good. I just started listening to your show tonight because I also have a show on Blog Talk Radio, and I was wanted to comment about, you know, when these individuals go to makeup schools and also beauty schools too, I don't think they really prepare them for what is out there
mm-hmm.
in the profession. I do hair and makeup, and a lot of individuals I think maybe they're talked up to when they're in
mm-hmm.
school. I don't really
mm-hmm.
think they give them the real story of what it's
mm-hmm.
going to be like.
Yeah.
Your host who was just talking was talking about working at the makeup counter. I think that's great advice to give to people to learn because it is true. When you first get out, you know, one of the first things I would suggest you do is go ahead and start up a website,
mm-hmm.
do some before and after photos.
Mm-hmm.
Let people see your work. Throw yourself on the internet as much as possible. And a lot of times, too, you know, I was listening to your host saying sometimes you get paid. You have to look out for that. You know, I've been doing hairdressing for 23 years and makeup for 4 years. And now whenever I do a show, I ask for cash or check up front. You know, I went through
mm-hmm.
those times where you have to go ahead and wait for a paycheck. I don't
right.
do that anymore. I'll go ahead and relay that to somebody else. But it is a beautiful profession. It changes all the time, and and the good thing about it is if so much education can be found on the internet, on YouTube, and also working at a makeup counter, people may look at this. Well, I just spent $5,000 to $10,000 on tuition in a makeup school, and they might think that's below them to do that. But honestly, the more phases you do, the faster and better you're going to get at what you do.
Absolutely.
Now, what's your name, caller?
My name's Joseph Kellner. I have a documentary coming out called The Real Hair Truth.
Okay.
And
what's your
show
here?
Excuse me?
What's your show on Blog Talk Radio?
The Real Hair Truth.
The Real Hair Truth, okay.
We'll cover the makeup industry in the documentary, the pros and cons of it. After 23 years of being a hairdresser, I picked up makeup, and I do special effect makeup also, and I really, really enjoy doing it a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call. I definitely want to check out. When is the documentary?
Excuse me?
When will the documentary be available for us to see?
The documentary will be out August 1st.
Okay.
It's called The Real Hair Truth. You can go into www.realhairtruth.com. It deals with the pros and cons of the beauty industry, the makeup industry.
Okay.
We interviewed a lot of people for it. So the proceeds from the film go to a charity for individuals who can't afford advanced training in the hairdressing or the makeup profession.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That's nice.
So, it's already in the Florida Film Festivals, and we interviewed a lot of individuals in the profession, yours and my profession, talking about topics, schools, tuitions, manufacturers, all kinds of nice little things that people sweep out under the rug all the time, and it's a very learning experience, the documentary also.
And where in Florida are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Orlando.
Orlando.
I saw your ad on Facebook a few weeks ago.
Cool.
I friended you, and I listened to you. It sounds like a very good show. It's good to have a good makeup show.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Well, good luck to you, and God bless you.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, he gave some great advice, too, when he talked about just putting yourself all over the internet.
Yeah, I do agree with that. My only, I guess, caveat to that whole thing is a lot of newbies try to talk themselves up. I think the one thing that I would say, which is what I always say, is please just, when you put your work on the site, please just be honest and truthful about where you are in your level. Because, you know, you'll see somebody who happened to know the cousin of a celebrity, and they happen to say, hey, I don't have anybody around me. I'm in Alaska. I want you. And then they pick that one person, and clearly they become this, like, massive celebrity makeup artist all of a sudden. And then you go to their site, and you're like, well, what the heck is this? Well, you know. So and it happens. I've met many, many people like that. And I'm like, wow, well, sweetie, not really a celebrity. You did have a celebrity, and good for you, and I'm happy for you. But you're not really a celebrity makeup artist quite yet. You don't even know how to contour nor highlight. You don't know how to do a lot of things. And so, you know, I just really want newbies to be so truthful about where they are. It is okay to be new. It is okay not to know everything. And it's okay not to be a celebrity makeup artist at this time. It's okay.
It is. You know, I think people are fooled by that. Like, they see certain celebrity makeup artists, like on a lot of the social networking sites or wherever they see them, and they think that their world has to be so glamorous. You know what I mean? Because some of them may tweet about certain things, like, I'm doing this today and I'm doing that one today, and then they think their world is so glamorous and, oh, that's so much fun, I want to be doing this. But like we just sat here and said, sometimes they never get their money.
That's right.
Well, they spend a great portion of their time chasing their money. That kind of stuff they don't put out on Twitter. You know, you'll never know about that. You'll never know about the ugly side of the business until you're actually in it, working in it.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, just kind of a thought, like sometimes people really need to think about what that's all about. That's not, it's not all glamorous as you think.
Now, I mean, I just started a blog last month, honestly, and it's Deshaun Loves Makeup at, what is it, Lord help me, at Blogspot, you know I don't know, at blogspot.com, I think, well, y'all just type in Deshaun Loves Makeup, it'll pop up. And on there I have a little story about how I went to Jamaica for this phenomenal shoot, honey. I thought I was going to be in the sun, and, whoo, you couldn't tell me nothing. And then I'm, like, in the middle of the set holding a snake in, around my neck and stuff. I'm like, what is this? Is that what I signed up for? Why am I holding a snake? Why am I in the middle of rainforest? I'm hot. I'm sticky. I'm sweaty. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, this is not glamorous.
Right,
there's
right.
So many, there's so many unglamorous stories that I could tell people that they were like,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really, people? It is the and I always say this, it is the best thing in the world. It's the best job in the world as far as I'm concerned. But, honey, glamour on our side, no. It's not
right.
Glamorous. The girl that you're working on, now she's glamorous.
Right.
She is fierce. She's
right.
Perfect. But you... I'll tell you one quick little story. In the same shoot that I was in, I was teeter-tottering in the ocean on some rocks with my bare feet while the girl was in the middle of the ocean on a platform, okay, with her hair and the makeup, and she's looking stunning, and I am teeter-tottering not to break my neck so I can go powder her, and I couldn't move from my spot, okay?
So, oh, wow.
It's glamour, baby. It's glamour. That's all I have to say. It's the best. It's really the best job in the world, and I would rather teeter-totter on some freaking rocks in the middle of Jamaica than sit at my desk at ING any day.
Right, right. Absolutely.
That's what I got to say about the glamorous part of our job.
Well, tell us about the life of an editorial makeup artist.
It ain't
how
glamorous.
Do you, first of all... How do you get started in that area of makeup?
Well, you know what? It was sort of like I did my own test shoot the first time. I was a film girl when I first started. I just wanted to see my name up in lights, okay? And I was a film person for a whole year. And then I crossed over into, the print world and did my own test shoot. And now all the time I get questions, Deshaun, I don't have anybody to work on, Deshaun. And it's like, I went, when I was a film person, I asked two actresses, hey, one day I'd love to do your makeup, just like pretty makeup. And they said, sure. So when it was time and I got a photographer who actually was a film person to come shoot, we put it together, and those girls came, and I actually asked at the time. I have a fro now, but I had a, you know, I had the corporate America do. I had the relaxed hair and, you know, the whole nine yards, and I had a hairdresser. So I asked my hairdresser to come along with me and if he would be willing to do the hair for my shoot, and he was. And so we put this together, and I went to the Rainbow Shop. Hello, Rainbow Shop. I went to the Rainbow Shop, spent $500, and I styled the shoot myself. I did the makeup. I did the craft services. I made sure everybody ate, and I put it all together. Then what I did with those photos, I sent them. I felt like my job was to sort of like what Joe had mentioned before, which was get out there. Now, I didn't have a website at the time. It wasn't normal to have a website if you didn't have anything. And so
right.
I would just sit at home for nine freaking hours a day, really at night, and I would just email these two pictures that I thought were so phenomenal, like it would just like, again, I'd get the $2,500 a day. And I would just send it and send it and send it and send it. And I sent thousands of emails talking really cocky, like how I'm going to be the next greatest makeup artist and blah, 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 blah. And you must choose me to work with me because I'm just so phenomenal. People don't do that, okay? That's all I have to say. And it hit. One person bit, and it was Sharon Galt, who was doing Lady Gaga. I don't know what she's doing now, but she was doing Lady Gaga. And she pulled me on to assist her at last minute on a David LaChapelle shoot, which I thought was going to die when she said his name. And I learned that was my first editorial shoot. So I was in the business for about a year as a film person, and then another 6-7 months later after all this emailing and sending out these pictures and choose me, choose me, choose me, I happened to come across this, and that's how I kind of got into it.
Mm-hmm.
I got that was like the big break is to assist her on that shoot because I learned so much because David just does things in such a fastidious kind of way. He's not the kind of person just to be like, yeah, go ahead, do what you want. He's very, very precise on what he wants. He builds sets. He does all these funky things to get it, like, perfect. And so to be on a set like that, it's amazing. It's just, like, an amazing training ground for me. So from there, I knew what to do. I knew, okay, now I move on and I start to develop as an artist just by watching and learning and moved on and just got more people to work with me and more people to work with me. And then I started working with a phenomenal photographer. Her name is Sarah McClogan. She's like my little sister. And she's a photographer who was hungry like I was hungry as a makeup artist. And whenever we did something we thought was phenomenal, she would shop it around to magazines to see if they would bite, if they liked it. And they just so happened they liked it. And so we started working tons of editorials together when we first started. And that's basically how it is. When a photographer shops your work, so I can explain it, it means that they, like I said, they're sending the whole team's work to a magazine, hoping and praying that the magazine will like the work in order to print it. You don't get paid, people, but you get published. So I just want to make that clear what that's all about.
Right.
Absolutely. That's important for them to know that.
Mm-hmm. I guess
so do you think you would ever go back to film, or would you like to just continue in the editorial area, or...
Well, see, I mean, I do makeup because I guess my film background allows me to do, I do television. I just did something for Time Warner. I don't stay away from TV gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do many films because it's very difficult to be an editorial makeup artist and a film makeup artist because the scheduling is just so crazy. You know, like you're on set for 16 hours a day on a film and then you're, you know, constantly on that set, like, for 2 weeks, and then you can't do anything other than that. So I only do really, really short films if they really need me, for a friend of mine, an old director or something, says, Deshawn, please. I'm like, okay, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't do film as much. But I do television. I do corporate, what do you call those corporate gigs? I should know what they're called. But I do corporate gigs that require HD.
Right. Corporate videos.
Yeah, corporate videos. Thank you, duh. I do a lot of stuff like that. You know, you got to pay the rent. And so people who are interested in editorials understand this right now when you hear me. Don't be shocked. Sit down. But editorials don't pay that much. Editorials are the lowest, actually, I believe, pay on the board, I would say. What editorials would do for you is to get you exposure. If I didn't do editorials, I probably wouldn't be speaking to you guys right now. So don't look at it as like, oh, well, Deshawn, I don't understand. I think there's no money. I don't understand. It's called exposure.
Right.
And
right.
It's free PR for you. So
right. When
you hear me, if you come to my little studio here and I say it to you, I don't want your jaw to drop open and say, what are you talking about? Editorial doesn't pay very well, but it does give you exposure.
Absolutely. So you're represented by an agency?
Well, technically yes and technically no. They're a lovely, lovely bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, agents are kind of like, this agent really gets me special event stuff, like something to work with a celebrity every now and then. But when I say every now and then, 5 years, I've gotten 2 gigs.
Mm.
So I don't rely on this agency to, like, give me my bread and butter. I get most of my jobs, through referrals. I get the phone ring, says, somebody referred me to you. Can you do this gig? I go, yeah, I'll be right there. So I get referred a lot. So an agency is not, like, my bread and butter. They don't send me out anywhere. They're a really nice bunch of people. I like to say that if they're listening, you real guys, I love you. But it's just not my bread and butter. It's referrals.
I'm thinking, are you just referring to this one particular agency, or do you think it would be something different if you were at a different agency?
I mean, agencies vary. I mean, they all vary. You have high-end agencies that I'm sure would connect me to a W or a V or a Vogue, and then you have other agencies that will connect me to a different type of print job. It depends. I right now I'm at the stage where I'm making enough money where I don't want to share my money.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
you work for an agency, they get 20% of your money. And then they charge your clients 20%, I guess, as an agency fee. So they kind of get 40%. And then
right.
my regular clients are now who never paid 20% extra now all of a sudden going to pay 20% extra? I don't think so.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for me right now, you know, if I had an agent that said, Deshaun, I'm going to take you all over the world and you would be Kevin O'Quan and you know, whatever, I would say, oh, hell yeah, okay, I'll be right there. But I don't have that agent. You know what I mean? That agent's not
right.
Right. Yeah.
And it's important to for people to know that you know, it's sharing your money.
Sharing your
they
money.
They may not get you a lot of jobs. You know, it's still very important that you promote yourself and you just work hard.
Exactly.
That you work hard. So, but I guess I will say that you know, doing a lot of shoots, doing a lot of photo shoots and getting a lot of pictures helped you get signed with an agency.
Yeah, I did. I mean, if I didn't have all the editorials underneath my belt, I would never, who would pay attention to me? Nobody.
Right.
You know, because, you know, agencies are very much like, you know, everybody else. Like, what can you do for me? If you can't bring anything to the table, then why would we even bother representing you? So, at
mm-hmm.
you know, at the time that I had a couple of agencies looking at me, I was already published in, like, 75 magazines. So I had,
yeah.
like, a proven track record enough to say that, well, you know, she can. Look, she's in this and she's in that. She's on this and she's on that. So
right.
At least they can represent me to their clients and say, well, she is a seasoned, you know, makeup artist.
Right.
Yeah. But for
Absolutely.
Me, like I said, I don't feel like sharing my 20% because it is a recession and I want my money.
Can't blame you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not only do you want your 20%, you need that 20%.
Yes, girl, you need that 20%. Now, I'm not saying don't look for an agent. Everybody, hey, go out there and knock yourself out. But for me right now, no. No. I'm good.
But speaking of an agency, though, what are they looking for?
It depends. It depends on agency. You know, I mean, agencies vary, like I said. Some do just like, let's say, commercially kinds of magazines, like a Red, Oprah. Some do the high end, like there's a agency called Jet Root. They do high end, the W's and the V's and the Vogues and Italian Vogues. It depends. It depends on what their focus is. It depends. Some of them have, there's another one that's, focuses, let's say, on the urban side. And I think it's Beelin, and it's a phenomenal agency. And they have, like, the clients like The Usher and Jennifer Hudson and stuff like that. So it depends. It depends on what they are looking for. Like, agencies are normally looking for people who have wound up in Vogue or something like that. Let's say if you were to be in Jet Root, they are looking for that type of artist.
Mm-hmm.
Where some people live, you know, it depends. It's like every makeup artist isn't the same. Every agency isn't the same. Everyone has to do their research
right.
and find out what may, in the future, be a good fit for them. Because it ain't a fit now, I'll tell you right now. Unless
mm-hmm.
you do the research, you have no idea. You may think you know, but you have no idea. So
right.
it's a research thing. It's like I always say there's so much homework in this business, not funny. Always have to do your homework in some way, shape, or form.
That is so true. So true.
We have a question, Deshaun, that someone emailed me earlier, and they're wondering, how are you able to work at your studio and continue to do your shoots all over the world?
Ooh, all over the world. I am international. Well, it's my schedule. It's fit to my schedule. I mean, these classes will be, workshops and seminars, not classes, will be held on a Sunday or a Monday. And so I know that most of the time I don't normally work on a Sunday, that I know that I'll never have to say to my students, hey, I know you signed up for this class, but guess what? I'm out. I got to go here. I know when I am going to be here, so I never have to do that to anybody. So I wouldn't schedule. If I know my heavy month, let's say, would be June, and I know every June I'm running around like crazy, perhaps that would slow down my classes. So never to say to people, well, gee, thanks for your money. I'll postpone you until I get back. So I'm trying to, you know, do it on that tip instead of, like, you know, the days that I know for sure that I will be in New York, the days I know for sure that I can really concentrate on this one class or two classes.
Right. Well, since we're talking about the studio, can you speak a little bit more in depth about that, exactly the types of seminars you're going to be offering and things like that?
I would love to, because I'm very proud of it, actually, I have to say. It took a long time for me to get this going. But it's more of an definitely geared towards anybody who wants editorial, who wants to be in this world. I have seminars that discuss how to become a creative director, testing, you know, testing with a purpose. The never-ending portfolio dilemma, what the heck do I do with a portfolio, even if you don't have one, how to forecast your portfolio for the future, how it ties into your website, comp card, business card. I have all of that. It's all really geared towards my real world, which is editorial. You know, I have classes, excuse me, I always say classes, I don't mean classes, people. I have workshops. Obviously, editorial makeup, which you go from, like, soup to nuts. You go from, you know, the typical smoky eye to something funky. But it's more about getting into the minds of the individual. That's why these classes only have 8 people in them or less. And it's just gearing all of these workshops. I have a speed round, which is to help improve your speed. Because if you're a bridal makeup artist or you want to be, let's say, a celebrity makeup artist or you're an editorial makeup artist, sometimes you have to be really crazy fast because you never know who's going to walk in your door. You never know how late they're going to be. And this helps you improve your speed. I love this class. It's like, ding, and I'm like the drill sergeant, and I'm like, let's do it this way, and let's go, people. I love this class. So much fun. Well, it's fun for me because I get to boss everybody around. And, you know, I have things like anything to help anybody who really wants to be in editorials. I have something called an editorial field trip where you guys will come with me on an actual editorial shoot. And instead of, like, you're not my assistant, but basically what you'll be doing is it's sort of like doctor's rounds like you see on Grey's Anatomy where they follow the doctor around and they ask questions. The doctor poses questions to them. They get to watch what it's really like to be on set. They get to watch interactions with the photographer and the model and the hair and the styling. They get to be there and understand the whole functions of what really goes on these things. And they're not to be my assistant. They're not there to wash my brushes. They're there to really learn with a pen and paper and sit down and write out what they know and take that to the next level. That's what these classes are all about.
Cool.
Great.
Well, we have a question from the chat room,
mm-hmm.
and I believe the person's name is pronounced Kenya, and she wanted to know, Deshaun, what advice would you give to a newbie that has been doing a lot of TFP to build a portfolio, and basically the advice on how to break out of the habit of working for free and when to finally say no to TFPs?
Okay. Well, Kenya, I'm going to try to tell you the truth here. I always do testing. That's what a TFP is, testing. I always test. I love testing. When do you stop? I don't stop. You just have to keep going. If let's say Kenya, if you're working with a photographer, bless them, but you're working with a photographer who's not as hungry, let's say, as you are to be in an editorial, and you guys are just shooting and shooting and shooting, and this person's not shopping your work, and they're not really into getting in magazines, or let's say they are shopping your work and trying to get you in magazines, but their photography, for some reason, is not clicking with anything, then you know it's time to move on. You know it's just time to go. And you look for another person who is just as hungry as that last person, and you just keep going. So do you stop? You're new. So I wouldn't say stop, but I would definitely say be a little bit more selective in who you're working with. It could be a myriad of things that are going wrong on your set. Maybe that's why you're not getting published, or maybe the photographer's just not shopping your stuff. Because you need a photographer who's hungry. You really do. You need a photographer who wants to be in magazines just as bad as you do. Because if you don't, you're just testing to test. It's like a play date instead of it being work.
Right.
It's a play date. And I love playing, but I ain't got that much time to play.
Right.
And when you're new, you realize that there's a stage that you hit with everybody. Everybody, there's a level that you're going to hit. And you realize, well, you know, gee, this person, I really like this photographer. But, you know, hey, maybe it's time for me to move on and find another photographer. I'll take my work and just go find another photographer. That's all.
Right. And so basically, if you're a newbie and you don't have a portfolio, then you must test.
You have to.
You just have to, yeah.
You have to. You really have to. If you don't test, I don't know how people are going to see your work. Do you know
right.
what I mean? Like, if you don't test, if you don't work with a group of people, in other words, let's say if you do test, and let's say you are only concentrating on beauty. In other words, you cut the hair out the shot, and she ain't got no clothes on. And it's just you, and you got 15 pictures of a naked girl, close up, no hair, no styling, no nothing, but it's you and her. It tells me there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it tells me that either you don't know how to work with people, you don't want to work with people. It tells me something's wrong here with these pictures. It's giving me a little story, a little history about who you are as an artist. So maybe you just think, my makeup is so fierce, I don't need anybody else, I'm just so fierce. Maybe you think that about yourself. But you have to show us that you can work with a group of people, your hair, makeup, styling, photographer, model. You know, you have to show that in your book. If you don't show that, you know, it's a waste. So she, you know, I don't know what you're doing, King of Honey, but if you feel, Tashawn, I'm not getting anywhere, your allegiance is to yourself and for you to move on, and you tell that photographer, I so love you, honey. You don't have to say anything. You just find yourself another photographer. You can always shoot with this person if you want to, but you can just find yourself another photographer. It's fine. But always ask the questions. When you're looking for a photographer, ask that person, are you interested in being in magazines? Some people aren't. Some people just like to shoot.
Right.
And if that's the case, then you go, well, I don't want to just shoot. I want to be in a magazine. So then you realize you got to move on.
Right.
You know, don't even start shooting with somebody who really doesn't want to be in a magazine, because that's sort of like a waste of time. So, you know, I mean, that's where I was. I was very into, gee, I want to be in a magazine. I want to be in a magazine more than I want anything in the world. And if a photographer said, well, you know, I'm not really into that, it's not my thing, I would be like, I so love you. I got to move on. You know, I love you. Peace. It's all good. No worries. But I have to move on because this is my career. I can't hang out with you in your non-editorial world when my goal is to be an editorial. That just doesn't seem correct in my mind.
It makes no sense. Yeah.
But we have an allegiance. You know, it's like when you start doing this, you feel like you should, you know, kind of like, oh, well, he did shoot for me. You know, we did do this. And, you know, he is shooting. And it's like, yeah, that's really all well and good. But if he likes to just shoot, let's say, and he's not shooting, let's say, an editorial style, then what's the sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's an allegiance that we all seem to have with our photographers. It's like love, you know, it's like, oh my God, I love you. But love is cute, but editorials are better.
And I think it's important to have a team of like-minded artists working together, photographer, makeup artist, hairstylist, you know, you name it, so that everybody's on the same page.
Exactly. Because that's what an editorial really is, being on the same page.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, Kinga girl, go out there and get yourself another photographer, and you say thank you to this last one. Just move on, girl.
All right, you heard it. it's good to do that anyway, though. You
it
know,
really
pick
is.
It up. Get a different look in your book.
Especially when you're new. It really is, because if you stick with somebody, you're right, you get the same look. And it's, you know, you just fall into this rut. And you get the same look and the same stuff and the same angles. And, you know, and after a while you're like, oh, God, give me a break. I can't take you shooting the left side of this girl anymore. You have to move on. And when you're new, I think sometimes it's just very hard to know when you should move on. And quite frankly, if you're frustrated, that tells me that maybe you should move on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so what inspires you as it relates to life and makeup?
Ooh, girl, that's deep. What inspires me? The joy of painting a face, the joy of getting up and going to set every day. It's just like I get to play. And I hate to say play because I don't want anybody to think that it's not work. But when it's sort of like the old saying that people say is when you find the thing that you really love to do, it's never work.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it feels. It's like I found it. It hit me in the head. It has anointed me. I am like queen of the world when I get to do this. And so it inspires me every day to get up and go to set, even if I'm doing a corporate video, even though I'm like, oh, God, I got to get in a van and I got to go to New Jersey or Connecticut. It's like, okay, but when I'm there, I'm like, okay, let's go. So it is just a day. Just I don't even know what I'm going to face sometimes. So it's being in a corporate America setting, I never thought in my world that I would ever like not knowing what my day would be like. And now every day is different, and every day is like a challenge. And I never know what's going to walk up and sit in my chair and who I'm going to meet, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God, I just met Annette Benning what, 2 weeks ago. She was phenomenal. She was just a joy to work with, you know. So it's just, like, really cool. That's what inspires me. It's like everything inspires me now. I mean, I look at wallpaper. I'm like, oh, my God, they could be eyeshadow. I look at leaves. Oh, my God, look at the color of the leaves. It's just like, you know, it's just ridiculous, but. That's the kind of stuff that inspires me. Yeah, and when you find that thing, it's like when you really talk to makeup artists who've been around for a while, it is sad to know that we can discuss one red lipstick for like 45 minutes.
Right.
We can discuss how that lotion varies from this other sheen that happens on this other lotion when you apply it this way. You start having these weird conversations you never thought you'd ever have in your life.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's
right.
It's like a crackhead kind of conversation, but that is what happens. It's like it inspires you. It's like, oh, my God, did you see how that lotion went on? It's amazing. It was like life. It was like everything I look at, it's like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. Everything inspires me. Makeup artists, hair people, movies. I love old movies. Everything really inspires me. Music videos, everything inspires me. I just want to do everything I see.
What are some of your favorite products for you?
Okay, here we go. And I think everybody who knows me is going to hear it. Cinema Secrets Foundation. I am.
How did you know?
Yeah, I'm a little nutty cuckoo with my Cinema Secrets. But I have moved on, people. I still use Cinema Secrets, but I use Graftovian now as well, part of my cream. I'm a cream base girl. I'm not a liquid foundation type person, so I love creams. That's one thing that I just can't live out. I don't know. Because of the television world, this is when I'm going to start talking like a crazy makeup artist. They have two different types of consistencies. One is Cinema Secrets is dewy and sexy, and the other one is kind of not dry, not matte, but just a little matter. And so when you work on, let's say, a television show, like Susan was talking about, HD, I do tons of HD work, I use Graftovian because it doesn't make me work as hard as, let's say, Cinema Secrets on a TV set. I don't have to powder as much when I use Graftovian as when I do Cinema Secrets. So that's why those two are my, like, things. And they don't have, like, oils in it. They don't have any funky smells to them. They last a long time, so that's my thing. And they travel well, and they travel small. So that's, like, my little thing.
Well, you know, Graftovian is one of Suzanne's favorites for HD.
See? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, but you see, now I feel real empowered to know that. Because she's the queen of this stuff. So I'm happy to know that. I also like liquids. Even though I'm not a liquid girl, there's two. Makeup Forever's HD Foundation. I hear everybody go, yes! And Face Atelier. Those
I was
two.
Just about to suggest that one.
Yep, those two. That's my thing. And because I don't airbrush, I use classified cosmetics. They have that air, they have a spray that can be used. So I do that. Just, you know, when you get down in the body parts you really don't want to get into, that. You know, come on, we all, you know, we can talk about that, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. So, yeah, so stuff, I mean, those are my, I'm a big believer in, like, the foundations and the powder. And I got to give a shout-out to Ben Nye Powders. People pick them up. They're in so many different colors. They're so cute. I love them. So that's
blast in the past.
That's my world. I love Ben Nye powders because they go from the whitest of the white to the darkest of the dark person. I love all lines that go from black to white and white to black.
Right.
And
right.
Makeup Forever has like 40 crazy shades in there. So, Lord, it covers everybody.
They really do.
And to give a shout out to Miss Debbie there with Face Atelier, she just made three or four different absolutely gorgeous shades for black people. Ding, 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 ding. So I'm very happy for her. So all the black people, go get that. Put in your kit.
I think she's introducing them at the makeup show in New York.
A friend of mine, Brandolyn, she will be introducing them at the show. And they are, I've had a sneak peek, people, and they're gorgeous.
All right.
I definitely, that's kind of my life in terms of base. It's like, once you have a product that you know really works primarily on 99.9% of everybody, I'm a happy person. I'm not messing around with anything else. If it works, it works. Why run around and break it accidentally because I said, oh, this little package is cute. I want to try this. No.
Right.
Maybe a blush or a lipstick or something else. I'll play with that. But never my bases. Never.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, and the other thing that I use a lot, and I've never switched, which is, and I'm going to say the name wrong, so please forgive me, because I add an extra syllable, is Joe Blaskow, or it's Blaskow, I can't say it correctly.
Blaskow.
Thank you, because everybody corrects me. I use his neutralizers, so I use the blue and the red neutralizer.
They're the best.
Aren't they phenomenal? They are really, really good. And so that's it. That's what I have in my kit. That's really all I have in my kit. And I definitely don't carry everything with me. I carry normally just Cinema Secrets and the Graftovian. And then sometimes if I feel like I need extra, then I will bring everything else. But most of the time, I'm quite happy with what I have.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some products that have been around for years that I think every makeup artist should have. And that's the Ben Nye powders Joe Blasco's blue neutralizers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to have that blue neutralizer.
Isn't it great? I mean, it's perfect. I know it works on me when I wake up and I'm like, woo,
I need
a little extra. I need a little extra help here, people. So I put that on. And it works. It works really well. I love it. I haven't switched from for years.
I mean, Thinky has a shade that's a little darker than the other, and so you could kind of use them both, you know, lighter skin, darker skin. But I think some people are so used to just, you know, trying to brighten up under the eye without correcting the situation first.
Right, and you can't do that because all you can do is brighten up, and you keep brightening it up, and this weird darkness is still underneath there.
Right.
It makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a beater per se. I don't beat people to death with makeup. For people who beat, you go. But I'm not a beater. I'm not like I like more of a clean looking skin. I like to see skin. You know, I like to highlight and contour, but I highlight and contour everybody. But I like it to be a little bit more softer. Like if my client were to walk outside, you wouldn't go, what the hell happened to her? You know, she would look beautiful. And that's how I like my people to be. So I know what you mean when they put that, they try to blast people out and they do all these things. It doesn't work.
We have a comment from the chat room really quick, and it's Kenya again, and she says she's in shock to know that you don't airbrush. And she says she's invested in her Silverjet airbrush machine and makeup, and it's been over 6 months, and she's been a little bit shy to use it, and she wants to know, do you prefer the traditional application technique over airbrush?
Okay, I will say this. Well, yes, I do. I'm a big believer. I really am. I'm a big believer in my hand. I always say, what happens if that machine breaks? What you going to do? That's what I always say. If you can't reproduce that look with your hand, you're screwed. I like my brush. I like to paint. That's just what I like to do. But, Kenya, if you invested, honey, some money in some stuff and you don't want to use it, girl, you can't do that. You have to use.
She's just a little shy about using it.
What is she shy about? Then don't use it on a set. Go use it on your mother. Go use it on your sister. Go use it on your best friend until you get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let it, use it on yourself. Don't let that stuff go to waste. You don't. Mm-mm. I told you I'm cheap. Y'all, people, hear me roar. I'm cheap. So don't spend money on something you're not going to use it, because that, to me, doesn't make any sense, King. You better get out there and start spraying the world with that stuff.
to go back to what you just said about what happens if it breaks, well, one thing that she did point out is, do you prefer the traditional application technique over airbrush? And I think that's important for people to know that airbrush is just a different technique.
Right.
And, you know, and if it breaks, then you just hand paint, you know? So...
But a lot of
you have to, I think it's important. I think it's good that makeup artists know both, because there may be certain things that you may want to try or do, and you want to get a certain effect that the airbrush will capture. So it's great to know that. But if you don't airbrush, then, you know, certainly it's not a big deal.
I have taken airbrush classes. I know how to airbrush. I just don't do it.
You just don't like to.
I don't like it. For me personally, I don't like the look of people. They look weird. That's just me.
Well, then that's probably somebody who was not doing it properly and using too much makeup.
Exactly. And everybody I've been looking at, there's a lot of this airbrush and stuff. I mean, it's like crazy to me. So I don't understand. I don't get it, personally. I've seen it. I've seen it up close. I've had people spray me. I didn't like it. I'm very, very oily. And so what happens with, for me personally, again, what happens with the airbrush, with the makeup, it sits on top of my skin. So if I accidentally touch my face because I'm an oily, crazy person, it will just, the whole look is ruined. So that's, you know, those are my issues. I try everything on my face first before I put it on anybody else. And if that happens to me, then I know what happened to my client. I just don't particularly use it. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I did, because it's, like I told you, some of them nether regions, I'd rather have an airbrush machine.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, I'd rather have the airbrush machine, but I honestly haven't invested in an airbrush machine. I do investigate them when I go out into the makeup shows and speak,
mm-hmm.
and people want me to take their class, and I go and take their class to see how their product is. For me, I'm just not a lover of the airbrush machine, that's all.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I know. Nope. Kinga, you just go ahead and airbrush away, girl, though. You have to. Don't be spending money and you not use it. You have to.
Yeah, that's true. Might as well give it a try.
You might as well use it all up, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Well, Deshawn, we have ran out of time completely. I'm like, time has been up about 3 minutes ago, but we're still, the show is still on, it's just not streaming over the internet. But thank you so much for joining us. And normally we like to ask our guests what beauty is to them, so you are not exempt. What does beauty mean to you?
Fun. There you go. I feel like I'm on that show with that guy with the beard. What's my favorite word? It just means fun. Beauty's just fun. It's a joy. It's fun. It's every positive word I can think of. And I'm a very lucky black girl.
Absolutely. I've heard you say that before.
Yeah, I should have named my school, my classes, the Happy Black Girl.
Uh-huh. Well, that's right. You are lucky because you could be sitting at your desk, which you did not think.
That's right.
Absolutely. And this has got to be more fun than that.
That's right, girl. You know it is. Now you know it
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Yes, I do know. I do know. So, thank you for a wonderful conversation tonight. We really do appreciate it. Thank you to, is her name Kent? Is it Kenya in the chat room? Kenya?
Yes.
In the chat room. And Joseph, who called in from Orlando. Thank you very much for calling in. And for those of you who I see on the phone line or just listening, thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Join us again every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you again, Deshaun, for joining us. And we'd definitely like to have you back on sometime later in the year. You can give us an update on what's going on at the new studio.
I sure will.
And let me just say this really quickly before we leave. I want Kenya to email me her name and address and phone number, because she's the winner of our giveaway tonight.
Great. Yay, Kenya.
I just wanted to put that out there if anybody's listening or if she's listening or, you know, if she goes back and checks out the show, to just email us at info@illusionsbeauty.com.
And, Deshaun, if you have any news that you want to share with the makeup world, anything going on at your studio that you want people to know about, give us a call or send us an email just to let us know, and we'll make an announcement here on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, just so people will hear about it.
Oh, thank you, guys, and I so appreciate this. This is so much fun. Thank you.
Yes. And why don't you shout out really quick your website and your blog again?
All right, now here we go.
And your Twitter. And your Twitter name.
Oh, Lord, help me with that Twitter. All right. Well, everything is Deshaun Hatcher, I think. Website, DeshaunHatcher.com. Click Studio D, and you will find my workshops and my seminars. My blog is Deshaun Loves Makeup, because I do, at blogspot.com.
DeshaunLovesMakeup.blogspot.com.
Yeah. See, you know better than I do. And the
Twitter.
Oh, Jesus, help me. That thing is just Deshaun Hatcher all stuck together. So no space, no nothing. It's just Deshaun Hatcher.
And I take it she doesn't tweet too often. So.
No, really.
I don't.
I spent an hour trying to convince her.
Yeah, I'm a little slow with the tweeting, I guess. But I'm very good with the blog, so hit me up at the blog. But, you know, I'll get better at it. I promise, Denise. I promise.
And thank you to Suzanne Patterson with that HD makeup lesson that we had tonight. And she's on every other Thursday, so listen out for her. And, please, if you have questions for her, please email us at info@illusionsbeauty.com or call in. You can call in and ask a question. This information that she's sharing with us is very important. Very informative, so you want to take advantage of that. And with that being said, thank you again, Deshaun, and have a wonderful night.
Oh, you too, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have fun at your opening tomorrow.
I will. Woohoo!
Post pictures.
I will. Trust me. You'll see. It's going to be very fancy.
Okay. Get some rest.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.